Mr. Charlie Chia Fu in Real 2.
The idea of Singapore falling or being captured never entered into our minds at all. It was something which we never thought could possibly happen. That is why we decided to proceed. And as I mentioned earlier, my first encounter with these Japanese soldiers, they were in batches on bicycles of about a dozen per party. And we watched from the roadside, and one of them must have seen the wristwatch which I was wearing on my left hand. He stopped his bicycle, he came down from it, and he pointed at my watch and shouted at me, "Kura! Kura!" So I assumed at once that he wanted my watch. So I just took it off, handed it to him. It was a cheap one, so that's all right, no love lost. Then he frisked me, and he felt something in my right trousers pocket. I had a spare watch there. But fortunately, I had a couple of these Singapore round 1-cent coins. And I brought out one of these coins and showed him. So he was quite satisfied and he went off. We slept that night at a foreman's house. Next morning, we departed. Then we met this group of soldiers, British soldiers. After that encounter with them, we walked out from the rubber estate onto the main road and proceeded along the main road. Because we only knew the route to Penang if we traveled by the main road.
What were your feelings when you saw these Japanese soldiers and when he took away your watch?
On the first sighting, it was a bit of a shock. As I mentioned, the way they dressed and the features didn't look quite human, see. But after that, the Japanese soldier took away my wristwatch, I just felt, well, you asked for it and you got it. It's just one of those things. Don't let it upset you. Carry on. So we carried on.
But what about comparing their attitudes and their morale with that of the British soldiers that you met later on?
I understand that these were the real main fighting force, you see. People who have been through fighting in the past. So they were very seasoned, you see, very confident. You could see them with their, what do you say, barang-barang on their bicycle handlebars, just cycling down very calmly, in small batches, a dozen or so, you see. And all that morning onwards, off and on, we did meet. batches of these Japanese soldiers, mostly on bicycles. And even then, these bicycles, I would say, old second-hand bicycles. Off and on, only that we, these lorry loads of Japanese soldiers pass by, you see, together with the officer on a motorcycle with a sidecar. Other than that, there was not that heavy movement of soldiers.
On your way up, as you met these people, did you hear of anything of what they have done in the north?
Let me see. On the way up, our mind was concentrated on reaching Penang. You see? Therein, we weren't concerned about other things. You see? As for food, there were some Indian shops open. So, wherever possible, we had our meals. And when night came, the first night, we just slept in the first empty house that we saw. And throughout that whole night, you could hear the lorries and some of the called tanks or whatnot moving down. See, it was non-stop from the evening throughout the whole night, you see. But being a Chinese, I had earlier taken a precaution of buying a English Nippongo dictionary, pocket one, and learned some phrases. And knowing myself being a Chinese, could be a suspect, because my Indian companion, he was perfectly safe, you see. So, although we took the risk of walking along the main road, more or less two of us only, we tried to be as humble as possible. Whenever we met any Japanese officer, we bowed our heads, you see. So in that manner, we had a pretty safe journey getting up to Penang.
How did you know that the Japanese were suspicious of the Chinese?
Because at the outbreak of war, we heard that the communists also had formed a unit to fight with the British Army against the Japanese. So on that basis, I thought it would be advisable to be more circumspect when dealing with these Japanese, you see.
When did you start the journey to Penang from Kuala Lumpur?
Pardon?
When did you start the journey to Penang from Kuala Lumpur?
It was sometime around the third week third week of December. It took us about a fortnight to reach Penang, because we were delayed or forced to delay on the way. Whenever we found any bridges damaged or so, we had to be careful, because we noticed that the Japanese were conscripting labors. So it would be advisable in these circumstances to force one's way.
By then, the Japanese had already occupied the northern part of Malaya.
Oh, they had already occupied the northern part of Malaya, or most of Malaya. We reached Penang, and then my companion had, before leaving Penang, rented a room in town in one of the shop houses. So we passed the night there, and also the next day. I did not go out of the house, but my companion foolishly did go around, and I understand from him that he met one of his colleagues who was also in the police force, a Bengali. So the next mid-morning, I was obsessed when we heard a Japanese downstairs calling, "Charlie Chia, Charlie Chia, Josh Ratnam, Josh Ratnam." So, being curious, we looked down from these staircases, and we saw this Japanese with a revolver. So he waved us down, and we went down. We asked him, "What's the matter?" He said, "Come." So we went outside, we saw these Japanese soldiers. So we were ushered up the lorry. We were then brought to the Penang Police Headquarters. Okay. Where we were initially put in a lockup before they called us out for questioning. After some time, they called us up to a room, conference room upstairs, where seated around the table, I saw these, they were the senior Japanese officers, army officers, you see. So they questioned me at length, my name, where I was from, why did I come to Penang, where was I working. They questioned me at length on this. From the answers I gave them, it appeared they were quite satisfied. So after the questioning, they released us. Then we went to one of my companion's friend's house, and we stayed there. Whilst there, we looked around the town. Therein, we found that they had this like pasar malam there. You see, the roadside's all crowded with these stalls. We walked around. Oh, we did hear some rumors. You see. Oh, we felt that the British were quite justified in their suspicions on the loyalty of the Sikh contingent in Penang. Because from the rumors we heard that they had not directly behaved disloyal, but their attitude showed. So, while staying at my friend's house, companion's friend's house, I felt uncomfortable since the incident of being questioned at the police headquarters. I thought it would be unwise to overstay in Penang and make arrangements at the first opportunity to get back down to Singapore. But therein, we had to find means of transport. So again, it took us some days before we managed to scrounge a bicycle. I said a bicycle would be good enough for both of us. So each could take turns in the cycling, you see. So after we managed to scrounge a bicycle, we departed from Penang.
Mr. Chia, when you first arrived in Penang, what was your impression of the place?
When we first arrived, our first impressions were that the people were very excited, you see. There wasn't that fear as shown on their expressions or on their faces. Only just simply they were excited, you see. It's something which they never dreamt of could happen. And it has happened.
What about the Japanese? Were they all over the place?
Well, we saw very little of the Japanese in Penang, you see. We saw very little of the Japanese in Penang. Mostly they were the local people we saw there. The people appeared to be carrying on their daily life as best as they could manage.
Besides the rumors that you heard about the Sikh contingent, did you have any other ways of finding out to accomplish your purpose of going there?
Yes, because my companion was in the police force. He had a few contacts, you see. But unfortunately, he also had good and bad contacts. See. Otherwise, we might have spent a few more days. See. As it is, I warned my friend, I said, be very wary. Be very wary. you've seen what could happen. It'll be just too bad if we are caught the second time.
What did his contacts tell him about the Sikh contagion? Did both of you manage to accomplish the purpose while you were in Penang?
Well, we did accomplish in the fact that they were not, what you say, directly disloyal and rebel, but they would be passive if it came to the crux of the matter.
Did you find out what happened to them when the Japanese took over Penang?
Oh, they carried on as usual. They were, from what I could see outside, they seemed to have quite a lot of liberty.
None of them were taken as prisoner?
No, none of them were detained or whatsoever, you see. They continued to live within the confines of the barracks, you see.
So when did you make your way back to Singapore?
We stayed about, about 3 weeks or so in Penang before we started our journey down.
How do you travel from Penang to the mainland?
Well, we crossed by ferry to Butterworth, and then from Butterworth, yeah.
Were the transport all controlled by the Japanese then?
There was no private transport on the mainland. You see, all that was moving was Japanese lorries. Everything was Japanese. You see, even then there were very few, even local people traveling on the main road. And of course, the most important thing, if one wants to get around safely, is to have sharp eyes, and to disappear before one gets caught for forced labor. Well and good if they release you in the evenings. If they didn't, it's just too bad. So we had all to always keep very sharp lookout for any signs where we would have to then vanish.
How did you know that the Japanese had forced labor?
Had?
Forced labor.
Oh yes, because on our way up we had seen. Because Kuala Kangsar Bridge was damaged and there were civilians working on it. I'm sure that the civilians would not have willingly worked. You see?
Could you describe for us your journey back to Singapore?
Well, the journey back to Singapore was quite eventful in that we more or less knew the main towns on the way up and on the way down. Through which we had to pass. So our first stop was, we knew Ipoh to be in the middle between KL and Penang, and then Taiping was in the middle between Ipoh and Penang. So we our first town stop was Taiping, where we passed the night. As for food, we scrounged whatever we could, or we bought whatever we could. We just only had to keep our fingers crossed that we, off and on, we would meet up with some shops, you see. And from Taiping, we went down to Ipoh. Similarly, we stopped at Ipoh. But next morning when we got up, we found the signs were not too good. We saw these Japanese soldiers going around. So we had to more or less play hide and seek with them, you see, until such time as we thought the road was clear before we proceeded, you see.
What were the Japanese doing?
They were going around the town searching for people. You see, from our past experience, we knew that these were looking for forced labor, you see. So we managed to escape that, and we came to Kampa. There was some signs of fighting there. Similarly, on our way up, the only signs of fighting we found were at Slim River, where we could smell the dead bodies some distance away. They just stank like belacan. And we did see these British soldiers swollen and bloated lying by the roadside, you see. So we were told at this Kampa there was some fighting. And soon after we passed Kampa on the main road, a convoy of this